where they weren't expecting that. I'm your Harkness, the apology officer, and I am not apologising for this show being in their ears. It's their own silly fault. After all, they could be listening to the collected works of Stroud and Wager.
No, they really couldn't. They've got safety warnings on them. Even the security team don't use those on captured prisoners. It's against the DSO convention.
Is that the one where everyone dresses up as a furry and gets really drunk?
No, you're thinking of LaveCon. The DSO convention says you can't subject people to cruel and unusual torture.
Like our listener?
There's nothing cruel and unusual about them.
Well, I mean, what we're doing to them now.
Procrastinating?
Yeah, good point. Time for the headlines.
In the battle of Mug versus Pilot, it turns out that Mug wins.
Pilot see FFS to the FSS, the Stargoy detector in hit and misses.
Too hot, too messy, week 9 update.
Rostar Chub in Galactic Identity Crisis.
Hutton caught napping as BTS stuff happens.
And Expeditions Ahoy as I look at what's happening in the community. How tough is your Hutton mug? It's a serious question. Hutton mugs have survived trips to the Antarctic. Okay, so they didn't all survive the Postal Service's tender ministrations on the way home from there. They've been thrown into the Great Annihilator. They've been scooped up by Thargoids and in general are regarded as some of the tougher rare items out there. Not surprising given that they're made from the reclaimed drive plates of ships that didn't make it out to Hutton. If it's good enough to propel your ship across interstellar space at superluminal speeds without turning you into space jam, inside out, or dropping you into an alternate dimension where strange tentacled beasts will eat your face, then it isn't good. It's good enough to keep your drink warm and, of course, survive being dropped from a reasonable height onto a hard surface. It turns out that in terms of man or woman versus mug, however, in the space legs on foot environment that many people enjoy via the Odyssey permits for planet surfaces, mugs and especially Hutton mugs are tough. Here at Hutton, we will of course in due course be reviewing them with the help of the Galnet Race Digest, but in anticipation of this, Sally, the pilot of the PWAF, took it upon herself to test one of them to the point of destruction. What was expected to be a rapid and scheduled disassembly of the pilot to mug type, more accurately the pilot mug to the mug type, Sally attempted to put into practice some of the ancient martial arts she learned from a guru atop a mountain where she went for a meditative retreat. Unfortunately, instead of a wise and wizened Sherlin monk specialising in using body parts to smash bricks, bend steel and turn aside sword thrust, using nothing more than intense concentration on his face and a lifetime of training, she instead had found one of the mad monks of Van Maanen, who convinced her that it was purely a case of pilot mind over matter, and if she willed the mug to be broken, then broken it would be. Unfortunately, attempting to put this into practice, Sal focused so hard on the Hutton mug she was attempting to test to the point of destruction, she forgot to check her approach to a nearby planet. Gravity took hold, the auto brakes on her ship screeched the PWAF to a halt. Sal, oblivious to everything but the mug, was firmly strapped to her seat. The mug, however, wasn't strapped to anything and instead was floating serenely in front of her in zero-g. Or at least what used to be zero-g. Newton intervened. The mug kept moving whilst everything around it decided to stop and it careered off, three walls, the ceiling, the computer console, and performed a perfect Glasgow kiss on poor Sal. Final score, Mug 1, Sal 0, and her fetching woolly jumper was taken off injured after receiving a full mug of warm kitten brand coffee all down it. We wish Sally well with her recovery and would like to remind all pilots that the phrase is for the mug, not forehead the mug. Oh, and if someone shouts for, as with golf, don't stand there and shout the mug bit. Take cover, as David Rubin might just have unleashed his favourite weapon in your direction.
The Pilots Federation, after weeks of tinkering and bodging, a few days of refining and tweaking, and a few hours of voodoo, gave us an upgrade to our FSS in the last bit. The objective? To enable pilots to find out more about these Stargoids, the super swirly, slightly scary, speedy shapes that are making their way across the direction, across the galaxy, in the direction of us. The problem is, they didn't give us a manual, they just told us that something was different, not what it was, or not what to listen for. In effect, they've treated pilots of the galaxy like mushrooms, if you're familiar with the phrase. Yes, we've been kept in the dark and fed on bio-waste. Canon Interstellar and pilots everywhere have been switching on their FSS, that's a full spectrum scanner, waving it around the sky like a space version of the Metal Detectorist, and trying to work out whether the exact sound was there before, whether it's just a gas shite, a wedding barge, a rocky ice world, or even just their own stomach growling. Spectra have been studied, noises have been filtered, unfiltered, compressed, decompressed, generally looked at from every angle, we've come to one conclusion. When it comes to the FSS, we have a full WTF and a side of FFS. At the last time we heard anything like that, Alvin dropped one of his Quika Mammoth Bone Chew toys into the waste recycling system and the blaze get jammed. We pity the poor person who had to stick their arm down there to retrieve it for him. If anyone finds the manual for the spectrum scanner and can tell us what we're missing, then please send us a copy, plus one to Canon Interstellar, as we can't work out what in the foggiest is going on.
We have now been going for 9 what seem like quite long weeks with Too Hot Too Messy, the Hutton-led initiative to deliver mugs and Hutton mugs and Centauri magazine to every single station in the galaxy. Steadfast commanders have been dropping off mugs and gin all over the place this week, and we passed the 27,500 mark. Once again, delivery numbers are declining, so get stocked up, get involved, and keep the momentum going. Remember, every mug counts. 205 commanders from 72 squadrons are currently taking part, and more are always welcome. Naturally, Hutton commanders are collectively blazing away at the head of the squadron leaderboard, passing 11,000 deliveries just yesterday. The Wing Hussars have most definitely made second place their own with 1,350 muggins, and the Paladins are third, having carved their 1,200 notch earlier in the week. The Quartet that make up the Undead are still in fourth on 777, and Infinite Dreamer in his one-man squadron is fifth with 616. He who, well, it would be boring to mention every week, yes, him, he's still out in front now with over 2,300 mugs and gin delivered. I hear he's robbing bases and doing on-foot missions at the same time too. However, he's been chased down by Nem, who passed the 1,900 mark earlier this week. The gap to Commander Mouse 8287 in third has widened over last week, and Commander Waller 81 is chasing them hard for fourth, passing the 1,200 mark, and they will likely pass them this weekend to take third. How do we know all this? Because it's tracked by the marvel that is the Hutton Helper, and updated live on the Too Hot Too Messy event page at hot.forthemug.com/hotmess2. At this rate, we'll have delivered a canister of Hutton mugs and Centauri megagin to every station in the galaxy by Christmas. Precisely which Christmas, we aren't going to speculate, as we find more and more stations each week. But if everyone leaves it to everyone else, then it's going to take much longer to accomplish. Apart from the glory alone, there is an additional incentive in a real-world gravity-assisted mods-preventing Hutton mug that you can fill with tea, gin, or whatever you like as you happily take Hutton mugs to where no Hutton mug has gone before. Any commander that delivers 10 mugs in a week will be entered into that week's draw to win a real one. Unless you already have one, of course, in which case you've already been immunised against mods. 8 commanders have accomplished this so far, and you can see a little golden mug next to their names in the top commander's table. How do I join in the fun, I hear you ask? Well, first you need to sign up by downloading the Hutton Helper from hot.forthemug.com/download, where your mug and gin deliveries will be automatically registered for you by Antarius Fusion's magical counting hamsters.
Never let it be said that Hutton pilots are slow on the uptake. Okay, so a few of us haven't noticed we've actually passed the orbital until 0.22 light years past it, before performing the galaxy's biggest U-turn and shoop of lame. Now that a few of us have travelled all the way out to Hutton, before realising that we've not remembered any limpets, or a limpet controller, or in fact that we don't have a cargo rack, and actually we're in our combat ship. One system, however, has been party to an enormous clangor that the entire Pilots Federation have taken 2 whole years to notice. Back in 3306, the LHS 4058 system was the subject of a community goal that looked to upgrade one of its orbitals to a fully blown, fully operational space station, complete with toast rack, winky lights, those little advertising hoardings, and of course, breathable air whilst parked on the pad. Unfortunately, it looks like someone forgot to tell the Universal Cartographics Art Department. On approach to the station, it quite clearly still shows it is an itsy-witsy little teeny-tiny orbital, not dissimilar from Hutton. Imagine the shock when the pilot comes out of supercruise, expecting to see a couple of pads linked together with boxy habitation modules, and is instead confronted by a full-size space station, a few kilometres wide and filling their viewports. What they thought was a little outpost that would be nice and quiet, somewhere to prop up the bar well away from the hustle and bustle of the major trade hubs, is indeed a fully fledged station, complete with dangerous looking gun ports, security patrols, and an extended no-fire zone. Yep, Rosarch Hub in LHS 4058 is a big station, but it has a little sign, and it took all of you lot 2 years to notice.
Interesting might be a word to describe what's been going on this week in Hutton Space. We seem to be doing a bit of system sitting for a friend that we're only too happy to hand back. Blight turns to famine, and Sirius are up to their old tricks, which is becoming rather tedious. More on those stories coming up. This week's shock news is that Barnard's star is not the bottom of the pile, nor the next to bottom either. Instead, low system on the pole goes to Avic, and it's no wonder given that it's suffering from both an infrastructure failure and the latest in a very tedious series of wars with Sirius Corporation, leaving the citizens discontented on 29. Ship in either power generators or water purifiers, or even both, and win the war against Sirius, which they are currently leading 2-1. One of our friendly factions, the Gilgamesh Core Orbital Protection faction, were faced with an awkward 2 much month left at the end of the money. Their influence in LHS 450 plummeted as a result, as the markets lost confidence in their ability to pay their expansion bills. Hutton have been there for a while, happily coasting along bottom of the also-ran factions, when suddenly we were alerted to the Gilgamesh dilemma by one of their ambassadors. They assured us that we got this, hold my gin, and even some Hutton commanders risked the wrath of Alvin by fighting against Hutton, all in the cause of helping our friends out of a bind. However, fate would not bend to anyone's will, and we saw that day after day Gilgamesh lost more and more ground. Yesterday saw Hutton collectively go, oh bother, and won 4-0. So next to bottom in our systems is a new entry, LHS 450. Well, Gilgamesh, you know where LHS 450 is, and any time you want to come and collect it, it's yours. been temporarily smug and enjoying a week off from its regular slot at the bottom of the pile due to the war in Avik, is Barnard Star, now on a reassuring 35%. There's an election in the system tying up 30% of influence, but it should finish tomorrow or by the weekend, so it's a reasonable week to try to improve Hutton's margin. All sitting on 39% is the very slow-to-move Epsilon Indy, Epsilon Eridani, which is recovering from last week's outbreak, and Trepin. Last week's blight in LP525-39 was cleared in the week, but it hung around long enough to trigger a famine, so shipping food and dump exploration data to get the system back on its feet. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems table, we have six systems above 60%, and for a change, we aren't looking to expand anywhere soon. Last week, we expanded into LHS 200, a dull little system controlled by the Earth Defence Fleet, and we really don't want to stay, and Alvin would like to lose the war against LFT 367 Dynamic Corporation and get out of there. Priorities this week are, if you want to chuck something, ship food or dump exploration data into LP525-39 to clear the famine, and ship in either power generators or water purifiers, or even both, to Avik. If you want to shoot something, win the war in Avik against Sirius Corporation, and once that is achieved, lose the war in LHS 200. Over to Flossie.
An update from Alec Turner about the Buckyball Racing Club's 308 Magic 8 Ball Championship. Ladies, gentlemen, racers, that's it, the championship is over. Without further ado, the winners of the Buckyball Racing Club's 3308 Magic 8 Ball Championship are for regulation class. In third place, we have the consummate live streamer and winner of the Seven Sisters Speedway, Captain MD, who finishes on 44 points. In second place, it's the dancing space bear and scourge of the Buckyball rulebook, Commander Brusky, who, with a magic 8-ball wins to his name, finishes on 54 points. And in first place, ultimate champion of the magic 8-ball regulation class Cobra, it's a richly deserved win to the incomparable Commander Shay Blackwood, who finishes with 56 out of a maximum 60 points and was sat on the podium for six of the eight races. And for the unlimited class, in case there was any doubt whatsoever that the above three deserved their podium places, it's the exact same three in the exact same order, but finishing with 50 points for Captain MD, 54 points for Brusky, and 57 points for Shea. Massive congratulations to three very different but equally skilled pilots, now officially the fastest pilots in the galaxy. Please be upstanding for Commanders Captain MD, Brusky and Shea Blackwood. Elsewhere, just a few notable mentions. First, I'd like to give a big shout out to Commander Screw, the only person to have ever circumnavigated Pomesh 2C in an SRV. Putting real life first meant he had to pull out of the championship after just four races, but otherwise I think he could very easily have been one of our champions. I'd also like to thank the other seven racehorse, Mal for the win, Brother Sabathius, Sulu, Psychic, Reiko, Oswick and Ashnak, without whose time and dedication this championship would not have been possible. I'd like to thank all the folks who promoted our racing community on various social media platforms, people like The Highwork, Das Jav, Tu Corso, Homburger, Wotherspoon and Beetlejude, all the podcasters and live streamers and many, many more, and of course Frontier Developments for, well, everything. And finally, I'd like to thank and congratulate you. Every single one of you has helped to make this championship something truly special. You've thrown yourselves into these monthly challenges with true bravado. You've been good-natured, funny, witty, creative, and just absolutely brilliant competitors, and you're all winners in my book. It seems highly likely, given the success of this, that we'll run another championship next year. But in the meantime, although the 8-ball is over, that's not quite the end of Buckyball for 3308. Commander Edelgard von Rain is planning to host a new race entitled the trouble with triples. Around November time, so watch this space. Fly fast, Commanders, and see you at the finish line. Commander, the Presence does not have an update on does the sun still rise in the east this week due to work pressures, but did say next week should be the final report anyhow, and I'll endeavour to get that done. Many thanks for the opportunity, laughs and mickey taking. It's been a real pleasure.